Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I love the Bible. I really do. I love the Bible. How about you? I love the Bible. I read it each day. I love the Bible. It guides my way. I love the Bible hidden in my heart. I love the Bible, and we shall never part. Well, it's a joy to be here today. Thank you for your applause and all the other things that you have done and are doing about our celebration 65 years ago in the historic First Baptist Church in downtown Fort Worth. The greatest preacher of the 20th century, Dr. J. Frank Norris, united us in marriage. I want you to know it's good to be surrounded by young men on the platform. Well, God bless you, Brother Rigsby. It's good to be in God's house, and Pastor, I appreciate, and I never take for granted, the opportunity of proclaiming the Word of God to this great people. Now then, I've used enough runway. Let's get airborne. Open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Amen. Let's see what God's thinking about today in the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. As you're finding your place in the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives. Amen. And the Bible is right. Amen. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Aren't you glad it's settled right here on earth? This wonderful book we call the Bible, inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. I'm going to read Galatians chapter 6, verse number 17. And I'll read it after we pray together. Father, we are grateful for the wonderful book that we know as the Bible. We thank thee that thou hast spoken to us by thy Spirit through thy word about thy Son and the salvation that he gives to us through his sacrificial substitutionary death upon the cross, paying our sin debt. And I pray tonight, if there be some that know not Jesus Christ, oh God, may this be the day they would come and trust him. For those, dear Lord, who need a church home, may they wait no longer, but come and identify with this great people. And Father, for every Christian in this room today, may we know what Paul really meant when he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. May it be so is our prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Galatians chapter 6 at verse number 17. Paul writes, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. From an unknown author comes a poem entitled, I Am His. It's not your ordinary poem. Listen very carefully. Today I found a critter on my range, as fat and sleek as any I own. But this fat calf was slick, unbranded, strange. The burning iron this calf has never known. Oh, lucky calf, you've never known the fright of lariat that snatched you in flight. You've never known that hopeless, helpless plight when strong, unyielding hands have held you tight. And that fierce iron has burned upon your hip an everlasting mark of ownership. I pass you by to ride among my own, to see with joy how much my calves have grown, to care for any sickness, any need, to put my cattle on the finest feed. My cows, it seems, quite gladly wear my brand. It seems somehow they almost understand that they are mine, and I will give them care. And what they are is but the brand they wear. I wonder, is that calf unbranded still that feeds alone upon that lonely hill? As lucky as I thought he was at first, no rancher cares if he should die of thirst. And if at roundup time the calf is lost, no one will search and never count the cost of making sure he's safely back at home before the howling wolves of winter come. It seems I read once in a sacred book, the sheep is blessed that knows the shepherd's crook. And someday surely I will understand how blessed is the one who wears his master's brand. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, I hasten to tell you that the Apostle Paul gladly wore the brand of Jesus Christ. Do you? Listen again with me at verse 17. I want you to have this verse, every word of it. I want you to have it written on the walls of your mind, engraved on the lobes of your heart, deposited in the vault of your soul. Listen carefully. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul knew who owned him because he was branded by his owner. Would you listen again to his testimony? In verse 17, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I'm going to read you Paul's catalog of calamities, and here's how it reads. In stripes above measure, labors more abundantly, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths off. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must glory, if I must needs boast, he's saying, if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. I can imagine in my own mind as I read this, and as I think about what happened to the Apostle Paul, that with every lash that came upon his body, with every stone that bruised him and scarred his body, he felt, this is just another mark that I bear in my body of the Lord Jesus. I'm sure that Satan whispered to him, there is no God, and if there is a God, he does not love you. But Paul answered, if I must needs glory, I will glory in those things which concern mine infirmities. A soldier returns from war with a limb missing, or with a scar of a shotgun wound, and he wears a medal to prove his bravery. He proudly wears the uniform and the medal, and he's not ashamed of the scars. Sadly enough, in our Christian warfare, we're proud of our medals, but all too often we're ashamed of our scars. Would you listen to what Paul wrote in Galatians 2:20? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, not self, not the old man, not Adam, not the old nature, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Would you listen to what Paul wrote in Galatians 6:14? But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Would you listen again to Paul's testimony in verse 17? I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The nail prints that were in his hands, the spikes that were in his feet, the sword that was in his side, the thorns that bruised and crushed his brow. All of these, I believe, now listen very carefully. I'm not saying that these marks were literally on Paul's body. There were marks on his body, the stripes, the stoning, in the deep, the fastings, the pain, the deaths often, all of this. But somehow I feel that Paul was so devoted to Christ, so focused on Christ, living so closely in the shadow of Christ's cross, that he felt the nail prints. He felt the spikes. He felt the sword. He felt the thorns that went on the brow. You know, we take pride in showing our devotion to Christ by who we are and where we've been and what we've done. Look at me. I'm regulated. I'm situated. I'm coronated. You're obligated to love me. But you know what? Paul showed his devotion to Christ by how many stripes there were, how deep the scars were, how deep the sword went into the side, and how fiercely they pierced his brow with those sharp thorns. Would you look with me at what Paul considered, I believe, his badge of identity? May I get personal? Do you wear a badge of identity this morning to prove ownership by Jesus Christ? The Apostle Paul did. Make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, Paul could have been branded as a philosopher, as a scholar, as a rabbi. But you know what? He chose the brand of a slave. And not just any slave, but a bond slave to Christ, which meant he was a slave all the days of his life. From the moment he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he became a bond slave. And the awl was put through his ear, as it were. And he became forever a slave of Jesus Christ. Now that's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. Not long. Sometimes, as I told you before, my introductions are longer than my messages. And often they're better. Of course, I'll let you be the judge on that. But I've entitled this message, Branded for Christ. I submit to you in the first place that the Christian wears the brand mark of the new birth. Enter Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, the physical birth, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And I say to every unsaved person in this room this morning, you must be born again. That's the only pathway to heaven. You must be born again. In the physical realm, the newborn bears family traits passed on from his or her parents. Step up here, Brother Johnson. You have three girls and one son. Now, the three girls favor your mother, but the poor little boy, somebody said he's a spitting image of this fella. Hopefully he'll outgrow it. Thank you. Thank you. Seated down. I'm saying all that to say this. In the spiritual realm, those of us who have been born again should surely resemble our Heavenly Father. We should look something like Jesus. We should have the walk of Jesus, the talk of Jesus, the love of Jesus, and the mind of Jesus. Look with me at that cross on that lonely hill outside the walls of Jerusalem. See the thorns on his head. See the nails in his hand. See the spikes in his feet. See the sword in his side. His battered, broken, bruised, bleeding body is hanging there as the life leaves it, dehydrated and crying out, "I thirst." Did you know what, my friend? Jesus bore your sins and mine that day in his body on the cross. It was your sins and mine that put him on the cross that day. I see the crowd in Pilate's hall. I mark their wrathful mien. Their shouts of "Crucify!" appalled with blasphemy between. And of that howling multitude, I feel that I am one. And in that den of voices rude, I recognize my own. 'Twas I that shed the sacred blood. I nailed him to the tree. I crucified the Christ of God. I joined the mockery. Around the cross, the throng I see, mocking the sufferer's groan. But still my voice, it seems to me, as if I mocked alone. I would have you to notice in the second place that the Christian wears the brand mark of faithfulness. I read the story about an African native who heard the gospel from a missionary. Thank God for our missionaries. And he was gloriously saved, but he had a real problem. He had a bad temper. Can you identify with that? Can you? Can I? Yes. You ought to be around sometimes, 65 years of marriage. Do you know what? One day he heard a message on the topic, "Crucified with Christ." In order to take the message to heart, please don't tune this out. He literally burned the shape of a cross on the palm of his hand. And this was his testimony. After that, he said, "Every time I clenched my fist and lost my temper, I was reminded that I'm crucified with Christ." Amen. Now, are you crucified with Christ? Do you know that one of the best things could ever be said about any Christian is the fact that he's faithful? Jesus addressed that in the Revelation chapter 2 at verse 10, where he said, I'm quoting Jesus now, as you know, I love to quote Jesus. He said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." I'm not looking for the undertaker. In fact, I'm really looking for the uppertaker. But just in case the undertaker surprises me and slips up on me, and they roll my lifeless form down this aisle and park it here at the front, and many of you come by and look into the cold, dead face of this man, I want you to be able to say, "Here lies a man that was faithful." You see, God does not demand greatness, but he does require faithfulness. And you know what? In God's sight, faithfulness is greatness. So I admonish you, be faithful in your soul winning, your stewardship, your study of God's word. Oh, by the way, would you like to be preserved? Anybody here today who wouldn't want to be preserved? Well, listen to what the psalmist said, rather. Psalm 31 in verse 23. "The Lord preserveth the faithful." I love what Jesus said in Matthew 25:21. Here I go quoting Jesus again. Oh, I love to quote Jesus. He said in Matthew 25:21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." Sunday school teacher, listen up. Be faithful over that little group of kids that you have, and God will fill up the room. You bus workers, thank God for the bus workers. I meet them almost every week that are now married to preachers or preachers themselves or somewhere in the work of Christ, that rode the buses to our church. You bus workers, be faithful to those few that sit up close to you at the front of the bus. And you know what? God will fill the bus up. You RU workers, be faithful as you build character into those that need to be rebuilt, that need to be helped and strengthened and encouraged. And God will make you ruler over many people. That's what he said. I'm just quoting Jesus. If you don't want to agree with it, you'll have to argue with him. That's what he said. By the way, I must tell you this. God will never make you postmaster until you're first willing to carry the mail. Because Enoch was faithful, God let him walk with him. Because Noah was faithful, God allowed him to sail with him. Because Elijah was faithful, God let him ride with him to heaven in a whirlwind. What a way to go. Accompanied by 20,000 golden chariots. And you know what? If you and I are faithful, God will allow us to reign with him. That's what he said, Revelation 22:5, and they shall reign forever and ever. Historians tell us that King Arthur, out of his army when a soldier came back from the battlefront without any scars, came back just like he went. King Arthur sent him back until he got some scars in the war to prove his bravery. Have you any scars this morning? What have you sacrificed for Christ? What have you given up for him? What have you forsaken to follow him? A third mark that every Christian should wear is the mark of expectancy. You know what? Our eyes should be firmly fixed on the sky, expecting the return of our Lord. I write through the years, I've written a lot of letters. I've got drawers, file drawers, full of them. I've written you one, haven't I? Pastor, I've written you, haven't I? Brother Rigsby, have I written you? Okay. But in the closing paragraph of all of my letters, I have these words: keep a sharp sword, a bended knee, and an eye on the sky. You know why I say an eye on the sky? Because, hey, Hebrews 9:28 says, now watch this, unto them that look for him. Hey, are you looking for him? That's what the book says. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What should our attitude toward our Lord's return be? I would suggest that we should love his return. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4 at verse 6, for I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. That's in the book. And God wrote the book. We should pray for his return. Revelation 2:20. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We should look for him. Titus chapter 2 at verse 11. For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, I should tell you that we should be ready for his coming. Listen to what, here I go quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. In Matthew chapter 24 at verse 44, Jesus said, Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. You know the reason I know he's coming soon? So many Christians are not thinking that he is. Such an hour as you think not. He's coming. By the way, Jesus didn't say, therefore, get ready. Can I tell you there's a vast difference between getting ready and being ready? Being ready is a present tense, it's a past tense, it's a future tense, it's all tenses. Be ye therefore ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now I have three questions for every person in this room. Only you can answer them. Number one, question number one. Are you saved? Question number two. Do you bear in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus? Question number three. Have you been branded? Would you stand with me, please, as we pray? The altar's open. The invitation has begun. You don't have to wait until we pray. You don't have to wait until we sing. We're going to do both. But if God has spoken to your heart this morning, you're here without the Savior, I invite you to come and trust him. If you're here and you need a church home, I invite you to come and place your fellowship with this fellowship. If you're here today and you have a prayer burden in your heart, I want to ask you to come. If you're here today and you feel like you want to draw a bit closer to him and suffer with him and sacrifice with him and be identified with him and bear some of those marks in your own body that you might have a badge of identity with him, ownership by Jesus, whatever it might be, if God is speaking to your heart, step out of your seat right now. I'm going to pray. Brother Johnson is going to lead us in our invitation appeal, and I invite you.